are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
giving up a second thought about you now. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, so I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it is, or if it ain't, and you don't have to do it, don't. Stay indoors still. You know, brothers, I've been saying this for the last few weeks, how messed up it is and how serious it is that you need to protect yourself and your family. You know, because of the greed of this society, they believe Trump. That it was just going to magically disappear. The weather got hotter. It's just going to be gone. You know. And then there's some other things happening with the virus that, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm making you have a heart attack. And oh, man, I tell you. The bottom line is this, once again. This virus is still out there. It's still virulent. And it is killing people. So you must do whatever that you can do to protect yourself and your family. Always wear a mask when you leave the home. Always. Always have a mask when you go into any public establishment. Have a mask on. Make sure you have hand sanitizer with you. Be as cautious and safe as you can be. And the bottom line is, it's affecting young. First, I was just, everybody was old, you know, like me. But it's affecting a lot. So I'm saying, brothers and sisters, be safe, whatever you do. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this show live, you can always go to the archives, which are timeforanawakening.com. When you go on the page, timeforanawakening.com, you see at the top, the very top, you see podcasts. Click on that, and then you'll see on the drop down African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled for you. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad from 6 to 8, followed by Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers at 8 p.m. And then on Thursday, there's a Thursday broadcast of Black Reality Think Tank, the Millennial Edition. I don't know if I should call it that. I know they have a weekend edition, which is tomorrow. So, Time for an Awakening, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., you're right. That's what it is. Time for an Awakening.
tonight at 8 p.m. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, weekend edition from 4 to 6, followed by the Sankofa Elders Council with Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m. in the evening, it's time for an awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. We Buy Black, and you can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. It's a good website. Check it out. Africa for the Africans, Bomani Tayembe. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani is going, he still has his dates up for South Africa, November 20th to the 30th. And then for Ghana, December 24th, January 5th, 2021. Those are still up. But go to the website. All kinds of good information there, everything that you need to go. Give Brother Bomani a call if you want to do that at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. Renoko has rescheduled his two tours, at least two tours that he has coming, and that's going to be nothing this year. Everything is canceled for this year. It's going to be Uganda and Rwanda, January 21st to February 4th. January 21st, February 4th, Uganda and Rwanda. And then in August, August 1st to August 14th, Kemet, going to Kemet. That's Brother Renoko Rashidi. Go to on his website, go to drrenoko.com. Drrenoko.com. Habesha. Habesha Incorporated. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work. Habesha is just like the my guest today, the Ledge Group. They're doing the work. There are groups on the ground in Africa that are Pan-African organizations that are doing the work, and they deserve to be supported. So the Ledge group that we're going to talk to later, and a Habesha. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. It's a Pan-African organization. They have the Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Urban Green Jobs, and Golden Growers. And of course, the big project is the Kashi Project in Africa, in Ghana. They are building, and they've raised $125,000, but they still need more to complete this project. And of course, you, my brothers and sisters, your donations are needed. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia in the Medu Bookstore. Her number is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263 in the Greenbrier Mall. Open Monday through Saturday from 12 to 7, and then on weekends from 12 to 5, the Medu Bookstore. The other bookstore that we promote is Brother Gazimde Ajamu, Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the black dot. He's in Lithonia. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall and the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Also, too, the Wadadas Healthy Market and Juice Bar located in the West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. They also have We Buy Black products in Wadadas. They got the laundry detergent, the toothbrushes, razors, all kind of good stuff there. They have a lot of health food stuff there. So check out, go to Wadadas. Located right there on Ralph David Abernathy, right across the street from the Soul Edge, up the street from Black Madonna, Shrine of the Black Madonna, and the West End Mall, right there on Ralphton Abernathy. They also have the Afroletics sportswear. That's the ones with the sportswear with the African-centered names, the Zulus, the Dogon Star Seed, they had Rouge, and so forth. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Us Lifting Us, they had their Thursday night broadcast last night. If you want to listen next Thursday, it's Us Lifting Us on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. Us Lifting Us every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. The number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. ULU. Sister Gabby with Sanjay Dash Haiti in the rural area in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti doing outstanding work. Please go to our website, Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Akabin Institute, make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute. They are doing the work developing our young warriors. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, use the dollar sign YAA, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Also, two brothers and sisters, the Akabin Institute's 6th Annual Complimentary Conference is going to be this Saturday, next Saturday, the 18th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. It is an online program. It is $10, $5 for younger brothers or sisters. The Complementarity Conference next Saturday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I have more on that as that progresses. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. July 9th. We must be about the business of liberating the minds of African children. In order for that to occur, the minds of all Africans who interact with them must also be liberated. There is no other way. Dr. Bobby Wright. Europeans should never be present in the classrooms of our children. Their tainted truth should never enter our children's ears or minds. Relying on them to tell our story and then defend us from ourselves is a sad statement about our will to be African. They are absolutely incapable of teaching our children of their true power and responsible use of it for our community. Neither is any African potency in the words of Negroes. Neither is there any African potency in the words of Negroes. There cannot be, because their influence leads to sub-integrationist suicide. They are not willing to die fighting against the lies that portray our people's interests. They bring them. Moreover, today, their primary mission, evident in virtually every school system where our children are found, is to serve as the colored administrators who reinforce European teachers into our children's classrooms so that it does not appear as a European, some integrationist initiative. No one can work for and against our children at the same time. Affirm, I work to liberate our children's minds from whiteness. Affirm, I work to liberate our children's minds from whiteness. July 10th. Just hold on a second here, brothers and sisters. I apologize. Have to send something out here. Okay. Today, July 10th. Revolution is not a speed race. It is a race for two. It is a race for he who runs to the end of his life. It is not a race for racehorses.
It is a race for war horses. Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture. Warriors are not an accident of birth. We were planned. We just have to see the plan. European science would have us believe there is no plan. They would have us believe that this has just happened. This just happened. They would have us believe that there is no ancestral connection. They would have us believe that we are not given instructions, a mission, or a personal mission before returning to this battlefield. And as long as we believe this idiocy and operate as Negroes and lost souls in a reality where everything white is to be feared and held in awe and everything of our traditions to be abhorred and dismissed as backwards insanity, we will subsist as the living dead, dismissed by our children. The shame of our ancestors, consciously disconnected from the spirit through intimidation and despiritualized lesser gods. Becoming warriors is not an accident of birth. It is a choice made before birth, realized after. As our names implies, we are here to wage war against our people's enemies, whether in preparation or actual physical fulfillment of the dream. We are warriors in fact. We have no choice. We owe those who battle before, those who are without defense and hope today, and our reinforcements yet to come. Affirm, I'm not an accident. I am the ancestors' intent. Affirm, I am no accident. I am the ancestors' intent. July 11th. There was never slavery in Egypt. There was never slavery in Kemet society at the time of the pharaohs. In antiquity, Kemetic women were never dominated by Kemetic men. Lastly, there has never been a social class or struggle between social classes in the Marxist sense of the word. Not during the long history of ancient Kemet. There was a complementarity. There was no homosexuality. Dr. Theophilia Obenga, very quickly, Theophilia Obenga worked with Dr. Shikanta Jop at the symposium in 1974 on who were the ancient Kemetic people, and they won the debate. They kicked ass. Dr. Theophilia Obenga, a linguist and a member of ASCAC. Any social order requires a division of labor based on ability. And within this division, an order evolves to ensure effective decision-making and delegation of responsibilities. But this does not necessarily imply a hierarchical ranking as it does in Europeans' mind. And even when there is some accepted degree of hierarchy, the emphasis is on qualitative differences of responsibilities based on ability and mastery, not quantitative ones that decide by possessions or ascribe privilege. This is so especially if all concerned recognize that they are working for a common good and that each individual is working at that which he or she is best suited in accomplishing this good. Specifically, outside of Western or Arab domination, Africans have never had a hierarchy of oppression. This conceptualization of hierarchy is extremely difficult for the mind raised in an oppressive, vicious, inducing culture to comprehend because it does not fit any form of reality that they can conceive. Hierarchy without oppressive rankings of people is beyond their capacity to understand. So, if it only makes sense for them to conclude that the Africans who physically built Kemet were slaves because this is how they build things. So the Caucasian's mindset is, they had to have slaves. They had to be slaves because that's how we build stuff. We make people work. And you say, let me get my affirm. I apologize. Affirm, regardless of my position, I never oppress other Africans. Affirm, regardless of my position, I will never oppress other Africans. The Nyesasem of Daily Revolutionary Thought.
Okay. I'm looking for people to come on here. And I don't recognize any numbers. I do have some numbers up here. I'm looking for Dr. Liss, who is with the Friends of the Congo. Friends of the Congo, which is an organization that I became familiar with. And then they're having a, let me do this right quick, too. Let me do this right quick. I haven't read this in a while. And, of course, I always love to read this. This is a piece by Kwame Nkrumah. You know, when Kwame Nkrumah helped with the liberation of Ghana, was one of the first countries to break from the European, from Great Britain, to gain its, quote, independence. He stated this some years later. It was 57. And even at 57, he called for Africa to unite. It wasn't about Ghana. It was about Africa, Africa uniting. It ain't about Zimbabwe. It ain't about South Africa or any other country on the continent. It is about the continent waking up and realizing the unification that is necessary for us to be a self-determining and liberated and sovereign people. So Kwame Nkrumah said this in 1961, this speech of freedom. I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives and intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear and envy and superstition and suspect, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. And then he said this some years later. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we will be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. How unfortunately and sad that is true. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that Europeans have had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans or dominated by Europe. That this is demanded by an African-centered view because why? We are Africans. And because the future for which Europe leads us is genocide. Marimba Ani. My good friend Marimba Ani. 404.
Hello, Oshie.
Yes. Good morning.
How you doing? This is Dr. Les.
Hey, Dr. Les. How are you, man?
I'm doing well.
Good. I didn't know which number you were going to come up on, but I'm glad that you did, and I am doing well myself. And
great.
So we have tomorrow a broadcast, and a lot of people can join in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. And of course, what the Friends of the Congo are. But tomorrow at from 12 to 2, this is a Zoom call. You can reserve going to Eventbrite, search Friends of the Congo to save a spot on the Zoom. Or you can tune in on Facebook Live at Congo Friends, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So my brothers and sisters, this is Pan-African Responses to COVID-19. They have Diallo Kenyatta as one of the speakers. Sister Patricia Rodney, she's related to Walter Rodney?
That is Walter Rodney's wife.
Okay, outstanding. Dr. Patricia Rodney, Dr. Walter Rodney's wife, and you know the kind of Pan-African that brother was. Love him.
That's right.
And then Bernard Wagner and a few others. Brother can't pronounce his name. But you're going to have an outstanding conference in talking about Pan-Africanism as in a response to COVID-19. And brothers and sisters, if you're talking about Pan-Africanism, this radio program is where you need to be, because that's what we talk about. On this program, we talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. In fact, as far as we're concerned, there is no other discussion, you know. So,
all right.
So give me some idea of what the Friends of the Congo is about.
Friends of the Congo is a organization that was established around 2004, and it just works in partnership with Congolese to bring kind of a peaceful and lasting change in the DRC, formerly Zaire. So it's very much advocacy and activism, and you do a lot of work with young folks, and it brings about the sense of Pan-Africanism, because you know here we are. I live in Indiana, know, and I'm connected, and you know, they're based, if I'm not mistaken, in Washington D.C.
Right.
So yeah. So you know, you kind of look at the legacy of Patrice Lumumba, and then kind of the legacy of struggle in Congo. Right. But then also look at the idea of what it means for us to, in the Pan-African sense, for us to be in solidarity with Congo and with larger Africa, of course.
Right. And the thing about what's interesting about the Congo is the amount of wealth.
Absolutely.
Although it has been plundered.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about for a few years. I ain't talking about for a few decades. I'm talking about for hundreds of years it has been plundered, particularly by Europeans. We all know the Belgians. In fact, I can't stand Belgium to this day because of I'm serious, man. I wouldn't eat a Belgium waffle. They had some Belgian beer. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because
that's the legacy. The legacy of making a corporation out of a land of people, you know, and murdering and maiming and dismembering in the name of capital, you know, and wealth.
Absolutely. It's very tough for me to but I know that when you understand this, that still to this day, the Congo has more mineral wealth than almost any place on the planet. And that's why, to me, what should be paramount to the Congo, as well as, and I know I'm saying the Democratic Republic of the Congo, because there's another country, if memory serves me correct, that's also called the Congo, and it's just, you know, and then there's countries around it, of course, around the Congo that are, you know, that should be working with one another, Rwanda, you know, because I know they're doing some good things in Rwanda, but I know each country is different, and I think that's the problem. You know, we don't suffer because we're Congolese or Somalians or Cameroonians, or Kenyans or anything like that. We suffer because we Africans. And once Africans unite, and whatever region and whatever you're supposed to do, you do for the betterment of Africa itself, not just for one group, but for the people themselves. Then Africa becomes the beacon that it must be for African people, particularly in the diaspora, you know?
Yeah. And that's the critical kind of point there as well with something like Friends of Congo is having some analysis around those types of questions. And I think also with our panel and work tomorrow, the webinar, it is connected. The idea of what Pan-Africanism can do in response to a pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also with full knowledge that there's already, you know, kind of we live in this existing pandemic in the Pan-African community, around many of the issues that we are going to discuss tomorrow in education and health and, you know, and these places where we are, falling behind, but not falling behind because of anything we've done, certainly because of the, you know, the stretch and depth and breadth of kind of colonialism and white supremacy and how these things have connected to form almost a perfect storm of oppression in relation to our communities worldwide within the diaspora. Mm-hmm. So we're going to ask, you know, some questions, you know,
yes.
Our panelists are going to explain and talk about and synthesize why Africans everywhere are disproportionately affected, to your point, are disproportionately affected by this COVID-19 pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. And who's responsible for this? You know, at what institutional or systematic level? And, you know, what is Pan-Africanism to you? And what solutions to the COVID-19 pandemic does a reading of Pan-African ideology, as prescribed by figures such as Patrice Lumumba, Kwame Nkrumah, who you just mentioned, Walter Rodney, who we just mentioned, Marcus Garvey, you know, kind of this transnational black liberatory ideology? Like, what does that mean to folk? And just how effectively have African governments in particular responded to the crisis versus how people themselves have responded? So it's also this idea of what, you know, a community of care looks like, and what, you know, cooperative work in black communities, what role that plays in something like COVID-19 and beyond that, you know, because we already know that we've dealt with the pandemic of state violence and, you know, extra legal activity against us worldwide. So, you know, and then also, you know, if we are considering health, if we're considering, you know, deleterious effects on black life within the diaspora, you know, that's a question for that.
And that's the issue because in the diaspora, Dr. Clark said it best. We have no friends.
Right.
We have no friends. Everywhere we are, we're relegated to the lowest economic level. We're despised. We're disrespected. You name the place and we're there. That is our position. You know, that's why, to me, that's why Africa must become strong, because once Africa becomes strong and unified, then now, wherever we are, we're going to be respected because we have a home base, and the way, because of the pride that we will have, we will carry ourselves in such a way that we demand the respect, because, you know, we finally got it together. You know, we control the mineral wealth of the Congo. We control, if you want to use the bauxite and cobalt and the, and all the other minerals that we have and land that we have. Yeah. But you're going to pay a pretty penny for it, or you'll pay fair market value for it. It won't be like it has always been, and we'll stop all this child labor. You know, I mean, that was sickening to see them young kids out there, sometimes barefooted, trying to get cobalt and going into mines and so forth. So we have to, right?
There's a broad context for tackling, you know, this topic, right? There's a broad context for approaching this idea of you know, what COVID-19 means in our world. And I think, you know, these connections are important, right? You know, but the connections across these kind of socioeconomic spaces are important to identify, right? And then, like, within this dialogue, within this, you know, what is the action-based response? You know, I think that brings out a way for folks, as I mentioned, to synthesize, you know, what these things, the impact of these things on our folks might be. And that with, you know, the already crushing effect of the other intersectional problems that, again, colonialism and just white supremacy in general have subjected our people to.
Well, you know, we really need to look at this because of how the effect of COVID-19 has had on our people, particularly here in the States. We're well disproportionate adversely affected by COVID-19. The argument could be because of our lifestyles and previous health challenges that we've had, age and so forth, you know, our living conditions, you know.
Right. And there's a pathology to that. I think, you know, we plan to unearth tomorrow, like the pathology to that. So if we say that, you know, living conditions, you know, we have a long history of this control over Black bodies in space, right? In place and where we can be, you know. We have a long history of needing to have some analysis around, you know, what a health issue might be, like the introduction of processed flour in places where folk were grinding their own, grains and whatnot, you know, and telling people, you know, what you can and can't grow and farm, and right. You know, just kind of introducing things that are foreign, you know, and what the lasting effect of that is in a public health sense, right? You know, the environment and all these different things that, you know, kind of connect to our health, and you know, if we're already predisposed to certain things, you know, then something like this comes along.
It's going to really be devastating. Yeah, right? It's going to be a monster. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What is the situation with COVID-19 on the continent? Haven't heard too much about it. Haven't seen anything online. Definitely haven't heard anything in the news media, i.e. The commercial channels of ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, or the cable news, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, whatever. But I haven't seen anything as it relates to the devastating effect of COVID-19 on the continent.
Yeah, I think, and we'll probably spend some time, you know, it's almost like you don't want to give it all away, right?
Okay, that's right. That's right. You got to get them interested to listen tomorrow, that's for sure.
Right, exactly. Let's spend a little bit. I'm almost like I'm a little showman right now. Like, yeah, you know, you can buy the seat, but you only need the edge of it, you know. But yeah, we will be spending some time on that. I think, you know, the reality of, you know, even those commercial news sources is that, you know, the importance of Africa and Black people in general, you know, it's something that we're not really gonna get, I think, in the first place. So I know that, you know, when you look at statistically, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't want to be quoted and have wrong information, but maybe the highest rate might be South Africa.
Yeah, that's what I found.
In the grand you know, scheme of countries, of course, we are leading. America's leading, I believe, the pack there.
Yeah.
And South Africa may, I don't know if that has anything to do with, you know, the population or whatever, but I think that's, you know, that might be, you know, what's dominating the news cycle is, you know, I guess what's going on here. And as usual, you know, there's not as much attention to the continent. So,
well, you know, when you look at the continent and they've already stated they're always trying, and because of the Ebola outbreak a few years ago, they were well prepared to deal with the possibilities of a global pandemic not hitting them as hard as it has hit other countries, particularly in Europe and definitely here in America. In fact, the two places in the world where COVID-19 is hitting the strongest and the hardest is here and in Brazil. And ironically or coincidentally, the two worst leaders are in America and in Brazil, two worst leaders, you know, fascist, ignorant, egotistical, narcissistic, the two worst leaders and have said, in fact, now, I don't believe that Bolsonaro in Brazil is taking hydroxychloroquine since it's already proven not to work. But the statement was that that's what he's taking, you know.
I don't believe that. Right.
There's
smart and there's not smart.
Exactly. So,
and I think, again, like, what are the implications for, you know, everything is blown up. And it's a federal case when Ebola is at the forefront, of course, because this is a way to point something at black people in essence, and like, oh, look what they did, you know, and so that's you know, those implications. I mean, that's yet another question, you know, Africa is almost criminalized. Not almost, it's criminalized when Ebola is a conversation. You know, and but when this is something that still exists. I mean, it's something that epidemiologists and health folks and scientists are still, you know, concerned with. There are still people suffering from this, right?
Yes, right, right.
And so, you know, but here we have this other thing, and what are the implications for, you know, how it's depicted and how it is approached and treated. So again, we have a lot to unpack tomorrow in that sense, and I think the group that we have identified to be on the panel are very strong in their ability to help us kind of unpack and break some of these things down. I think with Friends of the Congo, I think what you get is this consistent effort around, you know, kind of identifying and putting action towards the context of Pan-Africanism and to the context of, you know, like this you know, adherence to the idea that we should be the magistracy of Africa is important, but also that we identify that there are places where we have work to do, and they do the work, you know. So I think that's important.
Well, you know, to me, we need all the help we can get, and if organizations are doing the same thing, they must recognize what they're doing that are the same, so they can coordinate those things. The bottom line is that we must develop the idea that we are going to be one Africa. The Pan-African Federalist Movement and the whole idea of Pan-Africanism is for us to respond, because we recognize, looking at the history, because of the divisions, because of all this fragmentation of us as a people, causing us to be weak, causing us to be manipulated and undermined. We must, regardless of this organization, that organization, we are one. We're going to continue to operate as this organization, continue to operate as that organization, but ultimately we are one. And we're going to operate as one in that fashion. We're going to make sure that each organization is strengthened. And of course, the organization is about helping our people in terms of the land they have, how to cultivate that land, how to make that land work for us, the resources that we have, how we can extract those resources, put them on a world market so they can benefit the country and the people. All of these things that are so necessary, man, I'm telling you, and this is the time. You know, I think maybe this COVID-19 is maybe the real wake-up call for us to finally say, no more. Let us come together. Let us all come to the table of brotherhood of Africans and work out the plan to eradicate and eliminate the European in our lives. I know that's hard. I know that's hard for a lot of us.
Right.
You know. But
if
we're going to be a people who are self-determining, who are sovereign, that's what we must do. If we want to be a people who control our resources, you know, I mean, because that's just like consistently the image, particularly even of the Congo, that is impoverished, that is poor. The housing, the lack of sanitation, this, that, and the other. We just don't understand the devastation of colonialism. We just don't understand the devastation of the captivity that we as African people have gone through. And we somehow think that it can happen like that when we don't understand that the educational system, all these other institutions have been controlled by those who have been and who are still an enemy of us.
And I think there's a space for, you know, actions such as, you know, these, like what we have going on tomorrow. You know, that's a critique of a Eurocentric valuation of life in society, right?
Right.
And so I think it's important to consistently have these forums and spaces to question. Mm-hmm. And to respond, and not in just some reactionary way, right? But in a sustained kind of systematic look at, you know, how do we respond? What is our answer? You know, and then mm-hmm. what is, you know, culturally, how have we, you know, like looking back and recognizing continuums of history and saying, okay, well, we've been able to take care of ourselves in this way. We've been able to educate ourselves. These are all things that have happened in the face of these oppressive and maintained social systems that we've been under for just, you know, hundreds of years. Right. So, yeah, absolutely.
So now tomorrow's event. Now, I say, for instance, I want to listen to tomorrow's event from 12 to 2 Eastern time, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. from 12 to 2, 11 yeah. to 1, you know, 10 yeah. to 12.
And yeah, you make it. I got to do some mental gymnastics to give you Pacific time.
Well, no, but we'll just deal with the Eastern time. Everybody else can adjust accordingly.
Right.
So the Eastern time is from 12 to 2. And so I want to participate. So I know it says here you go to Eventbrite. When you get to Eventbrite, put it in and put in a search, Friends of the Congo.
Yeah.
You know, to save you a spot on the Zoom call. Or you can tune in on Facebook Live. I never use Facebook Live at Congo Friends. Facebook Live, Congo Friends. What is there also?
It's streaming.
Okay, right. It's all streaming. Is there a phone number that people could use if they wanted to listen by phone? Is that possible? That you don't know?
You know, if you were to do Zoom, and I believe the Zoom app is free, you can use your phone.
Right. Okay.
You know, to just do audio.
Right. Okay.
You'll be able to call in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the bottom mm-hmm. line is, brothers and sisters, hope that tomorrow you'll be able to be a part of the program, the Pan-African Response to the COVID-19 with the Friends of the Congo. And that is tomorrow from 12 to 2. Dr. Les, I appreciate you being on. I appreciate the information. I look forward to listening tomorrow. And
Baba, we Baba Oshie, we appreciate you having us on, and we appreciate what you do. We stand in solidarity with your work.
Ashe. Thank you. So this is what I want you to do next week. Give me a call mm-hmm. early next week so we can get you in and so we can get a, you know, for those who may not have an opportunity to listen tomorrow, but can get a synopsis of what was stated, what plans they are, what you know, what goals they're talking about, and so forth. Just a synopsis of the conference tomorrow. Okay?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right, dear brother. Thank you so much, right. Dr. Les.
All yes. right. All right. Forward.
Always. Forward ever. Backward never.
All right. right.
Peace. There's another program, too, that is going to be tomorrow evening, which is the state of Pan-Africanism during this pandemic. And that will be presented by WADU. WADU is the Worldwide African Diasporan Union, the Worldwide African Diasporan Union, WADU, and they have a pre-register at, it's a website that they have. And that's going to be tomorrow from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern. From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern. It's another Zoom conference. There's a Zoom that you go to. And I don't really see it there. But I'm hoping I can come up with some more. I know there's a, if you hit the registration piece that they have here, it's a pre-registration piece. If you hit that, then you go right to the Zoom and you put the information in. I tell you, I don't have. I'll try to get somebody on the horn so I can get a direct contact for the state of the Pan-Africanism during the during this pandemic, and that is presented by WADU. The host is Sister Dr. Chintunya. Sister Dr. Chintunya, and the presentation is going to be given by Dr. Leonard Jeffries, who is the president of WADU. So we look forward to Dr. Leonard Jeffries. All right, dear brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, I hope to be talking with my good brother Nkosi of the Ledge Group and the work that they're doing on the continent. We just listened to the Friends of the Congo and their program tomorrow, and what the Congo is doing, what the Friends of the Congo are doing in Africa. And now we're also going to listen to what the Ledge Group is doing in Africa. Like I said, I always promote groups that are doing great things. They're doing the work. They're providing the necessary instructions and so forth on the continent. I'm always honored in presenting that. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
How you You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time For an Awakening Media, every Monday, Wednesday and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. This program, African Perspectives, on Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, and followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, Black Reality Think Tank Millennial, the Millennials Speak on Thursdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time For an Awakening, brothers and sisters. That's right. Tonight, Time For an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition from 4 to 6, followed by the Sankofa Elders Circle, the Elders Council, from 6 to 8 on Saturdays. On Sunday, Black Reality Think Tank, on Sunday, Time For an Awakening once again at 7 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sunday at 7 p.m. And then every Monday through Friday, the Warren Ballantyne Show from Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 a.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brother Nkosi, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing this day, my brother?
My brother, I'm always excellent. You know that.
I know that's right. We're talking with Brother Nkosi with the LEDGE Group. The LEDGE Group, the LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. LEDGE, Environmental Development of Group Economics. And they are doing outstanding work on the continent. Presently, what areas are you working on the continent presently?
Presently, we're Tanzania, Zambia, Ghana, Uganda.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. Because, see, you know, you got a outstanding program, and you got a lot of members, and you've been on the continent doing serious work. What was the first place that you worked on the continent? Ghana?
Everything began in Kenya.
In Kenya, okay.
Yes, it began in Kenya. And it's basically everywhere we go, we start off dealing in agriculture. Mm-hmm. Because we have come to know and understand that beginning resource towards freedom. If you can't eat where you are and you can't secure your food, you basically can't move forward at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what endeavor you're in. You have to be able to secure that. And let me just, you know, start by saying that what we do is, as a group, we want to ensure that we can provide for ourselves food, clothing, shelter, health care, security,
mm-hmm.
and water, and all of the things that are base necessities to life. We're not dealing in the wants. We're dealing in the needs.
Mm-hmm.
The need as a people, we have to first know what those base needs are. And we've come to agree and understand that those things that we ask for, food, clothing, water, shelter, health care, security, those are the things that have to be taken care of before you can begin to move forward.
Okay. Yeah.
So in that reality, that's where we work from. We don't go into, oh, I have to have this because I'm used to that in America.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah. Throw that away, man. Throw that attitude, man. Don't come with that.
If you step us, you can't step like that because you'll end up being sent back home because you are not ready to deal with your true life.
Right.
So what we say to our members, and, you know, let me go back and give people a little synopsis on you move forward within the ledge.
Mm-hmm.
You first have to go through what we call the Grand Rising. That's our portal, and it's on Facebook. And you ask to, you know, join and become a member through the Grand Rising.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the capsule. I'm looking at some of the Grand Rising Coffee Company. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's part of one of the things we do. Mm-hmm. We actually have Grand Rising Coffee coming out of Uganda. And that's through Uganda Ledge. That's one of our subsidiaries or our offshoot companies in Uganda. Now, what mm-hmm. we do is we go into a country.
Okay.
We find a landowner or a person who's willing to bring their resources forward, and we partner with them. And when we partner with them, we will give them inputs, meaning tools to work with, mm-hmm. give them seed, other things that we all agree upon and negotiate is their need. And we supply that through our group economics, through the ledge, giving our members an ability to join in and be a part of the growth of that company. That company is owned by the executive director, who is chosen. Once they're chosen, you know,
that executive director is chosen amongst the people, right? That you are helping.
Yes, they're chosen by us.
Okay.
Yeah, by us, because mm-hmm. they have to go through a process, and mm-hmm. once we agree, we do a proof of concept with that person.
Okay.
And that proof of concept generally doesn't go above a certain amount in mm-hmm. money. So just in case anything goes wrong, we'll be able to, you know, make everything whole again.
Mm-hmm. Now, equipment and seeds and so forth, does that come from the United States?
Generally, it will be there on the continent.
Okay.
Or if it has to be imported, we'll do that as well. We take all of that into account, you know, before we set up, you know, the agreements and everything. We see exactly what it's going to take to get what you need to you.
Mm-hmm. To make it happen. Because I know sometimes, you know, you may need a tractor, you know. You may need some real farm equipment, you know, because, I mean, I was watching one video you guys had. There's a lot of land. It's a lot of land. You know, that, let me say this, Brother Nkosi, because the perception that the West always wanted to give, particularly to us, that Africa is this jungle, all wild animals and us running around with grass skirts and huts, mud huts and so forth. They want to consistently push this narrative and this image of what Africa is. And of course, because we've been made to feel ashamed to being black or to being African, we don't want to, you know, embrace the culture of Africa and the people of Africa and the beauty of Africa because we've been made to be ashamed of it, you know?
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, it's like anything that you deal with in life. If someone tells you a lie for so long, that lie becomes the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But if you're not one, and I don't say this in a braggart way or in a way that will bring offense, I was never raised personally in the lifestyle of those that are here.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised by Elijah Muhammad Muslims. I was raised standing Marcus Garvey, raised knowing Malcolm. I was raised knowing about the Panthers. I was raised in these ways, and those ways didn't allow my mind to be clouded in the ways of the lie. So it was a little bit easier for me to want to seek out truths, different realities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But for those that don't know, that's why we post a lot on our page, so that you can see the truth.
Right. You can see it right there. Yeah, it's documented.
That's right.
What I'm saying. You're doing
the
work.
We don't do something and tell you, oh, good, please, just trust me. Mm-hmm. No, we understand that trust has to be earned. Mm-hmm. So since it has to be earned, why not let us be about the business of earning it?
Right.
Because I just put something on my, and it says, "What the service of others is your rent for your room and board of being on this earth."
Yeah, I heard that. I heard Muhammad Ali had
exactly
a quote like that.
That's
Muhammad,
where it comes from.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali. Well, I love Muhammad Ali.
My job is to pay my rent.
Mm-hmm.
And be of service to others and show them the truth of our motherland. And like I said, that land that you said is so vast. We have access to 53,000 acres in Kenya.
Man.
And believe me, we're going to utilize every bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's the thing. You know, Africa, once again, I'm saying is that the image that the West portrays and perpetuates is of being poor and malnourished and so forth. The reality is Africa could not only feed itself, Africa could literally feed the world.
Oh, you say could?
Mm-hmm.
Give it another 3 years and it will.
Yeah.
I mean, you could look at it just from what's going on today, where here in America, they're killing cows. They're killing cattle.
Yeah.
They're throwing away chickens. They're throwing away milk by the not by the gallons, by the tons.
Yeah.
Okay. They're creating a self-induced famine here in this country to control the people.
Right, and to control money, you know,
yes,
cost of stuff to keep it, you know, high. You know,
know how dollars gonna be.
Yeah. But I could say, you know, that once we wake up to these realities of the potential of Africa and we have real statesmen and women, you know, I'm making that something that when I say that, I'm talking about men and women who can step to the leadership and to help form that leadership to be a collective of on the continent. Because when you look at the threat of China, I don't know if what you've heard, but last I heard, China's planning to move 300 million people from China into Africa. They plan to relocate a population of 300 million people. That is the many people that we have here in this country.
Yes, but keep watching and keep looking, okay? And keep on doing your research. And you'll see, as they come in, they bring their thought processes with their yes. forms of racism and their forms of
yes.
segregation and everything. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the African continent is not having it. So they're deporting them as quick as they get here.
I say. Yeah.
So reality is either you come right, you know, like we always say back when I was young, come in peace or leave in pieces.
That's right.
The choice is always yours.
Yeah, come right or don't come at all, you know.
Exactly. So what I say to that is you can want to or say you're going to import this many, many people, but you have to realize something. Africa is a continent of its own. You just can't walk in there and say you're going to take this land. No, you have to have permission. Because every square inch of Africa is owned, believe it or not. And it's owned, if not by a specific government, but by a chief or a tribe. Everything is owned already. It's not like you can just walk in there and shop right here. I'm going to be right here over here. Y'all won't even buy. I won't bother y'all. No, you can't do that. That's not how it works. And we had to learn ins and outs of how to deal in Africa. And I thank the ancestors for giving, you know, their energy to us that allows us to be able to go in there as humble and as strong and sturdy as we have over these last 5 years.
5 years. So, outstanding. You guys have done outstanding work in about four or five African countries, making a serious difference in the lives of those people locally as it relates to food and as it relates to entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Because I looked at the coffee, man. I looked at the coffee and I'm saying, man, where can I get some of that coffee from? Because, I mean, I already buy Cameroon Boyo. You know, that's one of my favorite coffees. But we had a cafe, Us Lifting Us, the economic development, Us Lifting Us, Ulu. We had a cafe.
Yeah, I remember the cafe. Yeah. I was there.
I remember meeting you. Yeah. And and unfortunately, and this is the reality. Our membership did not support it the way that it should have, and so we had to, let go. We had to relinquish it. But we had some good coffees. We had Kenyan. We had, Tanzanian. Oh, yeah. And this is the Grand Rising. That's Ugandan?
Yeah, that's Ugandan. Bugishu.
Okay. Yeah. Do they sell it here in the States?
Yeah. You can actually, if you go on to the the coffee site there.
Okay.
You can get an order form.
Okay.
You should be able to get an order form. It's just order directly.
I'll research that out a little bit better, so I can try to support that.
Brother Philip Jones, he runs the coffee aspects here in the States.
He's
actually the CEO of that. You can order all day, all night. I'd like to get larger orders, you know, to bring that aspect of the ledge up.
Right.
So he'd be, you know, dealing with coffee houses and, you know, different shops and things that our people are going to do. But at the same time, you know, everything that we do in Africa, people here in the diaspora, they can partake of it after they become a member, and they can build a company here if they so choose.
Okay, here in the States, huh?
I don't even own a home here.
Okay.
Because I don't believe in furthering the system that is still, you know, keeping us in an oppressed state.
Okay.
Because owning a home, you have to pay taxes here.
Yeah.
Those taxes, what do you think that goes to? That goes to help, you know, helping to keep them held up.
Sure.
Everything that you do, like I say, just the basics, food, clothing, shelter, health care, security, all those things they provide. And in providing those things to you, there's a price. When you can do the same thing in Africa, as Brother Akon said, and as we are proof of that, you know, you can do everything you do here, you can do in Africa, and you can have a Fortune 500 company in less than 5 years.
Yeah.
And that is true, 100% true. So I tell everybody, if you're a nurse and you want to teach your skills, there are schools, just like in Ghana, we were given part of a school to do our solar, wind, and hydro in. By teaching them wind and hydro, they formulated ledge power, which now everyone who graduates from our school actually becomes a partner or a worker in the power company, creating solar initiatives that can be used in the entire country of Ghana.
Yeah.
Or further.
Yeah. See, I think that's what the future of Africa must look like. You know, we all know what oil has done. And I know they're still finding oil here and there, but we all know what oil has done to the planet.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
So to find the ways to use solar and wind power and other alternative energy sources, we must do it. Clean energy sources, we must do it. You know,
that's right.
And of course, Africa has the potential for making that happen on a grand scale. You know,
well, you know, tend not to use their terminologies where you say potential, because potential indicates to me haven't been tried yet. There are a lot of things that have been tried and completed, but were usurped by the outside world.
I see. Okay.
You see? So, I mean, wind power has been used, I mean, since the beginning of time, 50,000 years in Kemet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything that you see is not new to the African. It's new to the West.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I like that.
But they have actually... The only thing, I mean, I'm just going to be as candid as I can be in this instance. The only thing that the West has created was patent office.
The patent office? Okay.
The patent office.
Okay, yeah, you broke on me. I said the only thing the West has created, a patent office. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be able to put a name on everything that they see.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the world followed suit with these patents. But if you go back to the origin of all of these things, they'd give us all of those patents back.
Right.
So
because we didn't,
it goes for electricity.
Right.
It goes for everything.
Yeah, we didn't do that to say I'm the creator. I'm this, that, and that. We did what we had to do because
to
we
live.
Understood to live, knowing that it was better for society. Better for the
That's
people,
right.
And we all benefit from it, you know?
That's right.
You know?
That's what we call Ubuntu.
Yes, Ubuntu.
I am because of who we are. That is the mindset
that
a diasporan has to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And I implore everybody to read a book called Capturing the African Mind by Bruce Bridges.
That's my friend.
Yeah, that's Bruce, my buddy.
Dr. Bruce Bridges. Yeah,
right there in Durham.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, I used to go to his shop there.
Yeah.
And but that's a book that will take you from colonized mind to the mind of Ubuntu.
Yeah.
Because it'll give you an understanding of the difference.
And it's important that we develop that kind of mindset. I've got a caller. I'm going to take a call. Caller, 919. Good afternoon, caller. Okay, you just want to listen. Okay, caller 646. Good afternoon. Caller 646. Good afternoon. Okay. And the other callers, I know they just want to listen. So, well, you know, what's important as far as I look at what the Ledge Group is doing is developing the bridge and the connectedness of Africans here in the diaspora, particularly here in America, with Africans on the continent, you know, to be willing to work with one another to develop you know, entrepreneurship, sustainable agriculture, all of these things that are necessary for, you know, for the society to develop and grow, you know?
Exactly.
And so it is, what you guys are doing is for, and is the future for us as African people, you know, because we must be self-sustaining, you know?
That's paramount. Paramount, because I mean, you can look back in since the beginning, no one has ever given us anything.
Right.
You just have to get to a point in your life where you realize that giving was nothing. Mm-hmm. And once you realize that, that gives you a catapult to want to develop for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, it's a beautiful thing. One thing we are doing now, we just broke ground. I'll say this: we just broke ground in Tanzania for a resort.
Oh wow! Okay.
We did that yesterday, day before yesterday. I think we broke ground on it, and there's a video on our page to show that, to highlight mm-hmm. that. And what it allows is our members. We broke ground on the main house of the resort. Each member now can come in and build an extension part to the resort, meaning mm-hmm. you can put a onto the main house. Mm-hmm. And every time that room is rented, you get paid.
Wow, that's beautiful. How do you become a member of the Ledge Group? Okay.
Now, what you do is you go in through the Grand Rising. And once you hit join, and you must answer the three questions in the beginning of the page mm-hmm. when you hit join. The three questions that come up, and if I know you, I give people my name and tell them to use my name as the answer to the first question. Mm-hmm. But generally, you'll just say, you know, no one referred me, or whoever mm-hmm. referred me, or if you have someone in the group that you know. You can put them down. You answer the three questions. Upon entry, after our admin does their due diligence on you, because they're going to do a real search of you. And just to, you know, be open, you know, this is an African group.
Right, right.
It's not a group for everyone. This right. is an African group.
Well, that's just like yes. that was just like us lifting us. We wanted to yes. make sure that everybody in us lifting us was African, you know?
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we just look at the realities. Every group here in, you know, America or in the world has things that are specific to them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we should be able to have somewhere where we can turn and be who we are. And this is a place for that. So all I say is, once you get in and you're accepted to the group, you go to the file section of that group. It's at the top of the page.
Mm-hmm.
And in the file section, you can find out all that we do and all that we've done. And you have to fill out NDA, it's on the page, and a pledge letter of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you download what is called the Guidelines for Membership to the Ledge.
Okay.
All you have to do is follow those guidelines, and they will tell you exactly what you need to do, how much your fee is to join, and it's a one-time fee to join.
Okay.
But I tell everyone, you may pay that one-time fee to join, but once you're in, the world is so open to you, but you have to pay to play, as they say.
Yeah, well, hey. Meaning, yeah.
You know, like I said, you can you have the right and the ability to add on to a resort in Tanzania, and Tanzania is the number one place for safaris.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a safari resort.
Right.
And, I mean, if you want to be a part of the coffee, you know, you can import as much coffee here to the United States at a discount because you're a member. If you want to set up a company under us, you know, and set up your own LLC, you know, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the whole plan was for us to lift up the continent and the diaspora together in one shot.
Beautiful.
Because the continent has the resources, we have the finance.
That's right.
So we put the two together.
Right.
And it's only a coming together of our people.
Outstanding. You know, that's the thing. The continent has all of the resources, as I say in my closing, that Dr. John Henry Clark, really, that's what really said. Dr. John Henry Clark says, all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. You know, it has always had, and it will always have. The question for us is, who's going to control those resources? Is it going to be African people? Or is it going to be those from outside, those from Europe, those from China, those from America? Who's going to control those resources? And I maintain that we must start today. No, we must start yesterday for preparing ourselves.
Well, we started 5 years ago.
Well, I know that's what Led just done, and I love that. But we got.
And we have almost 5,000 members in the Grand Rising.
Wow, but beautiful.
Miraculously, we only have like 280 that wanted to make the full matriculation over to the Ledge Group.
Right, I've seen that in terms of membership.
It's on a 1% par.
Yeah.
It's always 1%. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that number is so prevalent, why it's so hard to, you know, get people to see the mm-hmm. benefit in working with your own people.
Yeah.
It only helps you. It only helps you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
we are working with a people who has been destroyed mentally. You know, whose minds are not our own, and we can't think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed us on, you know. And that makes it very difficult for us to, you know, as I always say, the European has put a vice grip on our minds. And if you understand that tool, you just can't open the vice grip. There's a knob at the end of the handle. You turn that knob, and that releases the tension, and bam, now it's open. But my contention is that you don't challenge Caucasians. Hell with them. They are what they are. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They suffer from Caucasian fragility and hegemony, whichever word you want to use, hegemony. They believe what is theirs, and what's yours is theirs.
Is there.
You know?
Well, so the way I see it, what's mine is mine, and it will be mine until I leave here.
I heard that.
And then it's going to be my wife.
Right, that's right.
Or my children.
My children.
And then it's going to be my African brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's going to be yours. It's going to be everybody, but it won't ever go back the other way.
No, it won't be theirs. We have a caller, 646. 646, good afternoon.
Hey, Hotep Ocean to your guests. I just have a quick question for your guests. You were talking earlier in regards to soda, and I was wondering,
what?
I know solar energy.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
I know I've heard that there's sometimes issues in regards to electricity in Ghana. I was wondering with the projects.
Can you hold the moment, please? I'm sorry about that. Hello.
Hold on, Jay.
Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I was wondering what the projects that you have done over in Ghana regarding solar, have you been able to increase the productivity of electricity in the country, and has the government worked with you to try and make the situation regarding electricity better in that country?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because the government itself is we're getting ready to get into a move where they're actually going to send a couple of thousand of their people to learn from us. As far as have, of course, we've improved because we've educated, and having educated them, they now have the ability, and we've also sent solar panels, all of the needed resources to build out all of the initiatives that they're coming up with. So there's been a lot in Ghana. And at this time, we are focused on continuing to teach the class and move more into what are they going to do in the next steps. So, I mean, that's where we are with that.
Are you teaching the class in Ghana or are you teaching the class here?
No, it's being taught in Ghana. But if you are a member of our group, you can go online and you can get the entire course sent to you from EO, which is my brother. He's been doing that solar for about 20 years. So
I had met a brother that was stationed out of New York. I think the brother's name was Yusef.
Yusef. Yeah.
I know his wife. I met his wife when we were Sister Eliola, when we was together with Sister Soldier and Anissa close to almost 30 years ago. That's how long I've known his wife. I haven't spoken to her and seen her in quite a while, but I know they were working with Solar. And you know, I'm going to say this to you. I'm a component of what you're doing because I don't understand why brothers like yourself who have the knowledge and the resources haven't been able to go to Ghana and build up the electricity with solar and do that type of partnership. So I'm extremely happy to hear that. And I know there's other people out here who's involved in STEM that would like to partnership up and get connected with countries like Ghana to help build their STEM practices. So, I mean, best of luck to you, brother. I hope that y'all just move forward and y'all do great things. Because, listen, you've shown what could be done. And, like, we have the skills. We have the ability. We have the knowledge and the wisdom. It's just basically about the partnership with the government to come in and spend that money.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this here, sir. Let me say this. What we do, we go to the people. The government hears about what we do after the fact, after it's already done.
But
see, we don't go in asking for anything. We don't go in with our hands out and our tails between our legs hoping that somebody will give us a break. No, sir. We go directly to the people. We find out what the people need, and we partner with them. And in creating the companies that we create, the person that we create with is a native-born citizen of that country, and they go to the government to fill out all the paperwork and do everything that's needed to set the company up. And we also help with that financially in most cases. So, like I say, the government, we don't really go directly to the government, but we, after being there for 5 years, you can believe we do have government contacts at this point.
Yeah, but isn't it set up in Ghana, if I'm not mistaken, that any foreigner that comes into the country to set up and practice business have to be in a 50-50 partnership with the Ghanaian people?
They're slowly doing away with the 50-50, but the reality is, look at it how, like I say, how we do business. We do business like that anyway. We come
I agree with everything that you're saying. I think it's beautiful because, like you, it's quite clear that you understand the relationship between the people and the government. You know it's probably better that you have the people as the spokesperson to back and introduce you into the situation and the environment. And like you said, they, as the indigenous or the ones who are there at this time, go to the government and you know, be the liaison to the introduction. So I'm just elated to hear everything that you said. And I hope that it just moves forward and forward, because, you know, God is a place where people are willing to go and repatriate at this time.
I tell everybody, you know, I personally, I'm not going to Ghana. I'm going to Zambia. I mean, you know, like I said, I tell people, you know, before you decide where you want to be, because in my eyes, Ghana is more or less turning into like being here. Because, you know, there's so many of us that do go there, but they don't go there with an Ubuntu mentality. You see? They go there with a different thought process.
Yeah, with a Western
and
mentality.
That's always good.
They go there with a Western mentality.
Yes, yeah. That's not
good. No.
So I don't go there. I mean, it's like living in Charlotte and you're in North Carolina. If I wanted to live in Charlotte, I could have stayed in Brooklyn.
Right. No, I agree with you.
You see? So
I agree with you.
Yeah. So I tell everybody, before you decide where you want to go in Africa, before you decide where you want to go, take a visit. Really, really see what Africa really has to offer. Because like the brother said in the introduction, they have given us a blanket of lies about what Africa really is. But, I mean, you can go in, I can probably name about 10, 15 countries where you would not think of a hut to start to change your life. I mean, you think, hey, I'm home.
Yeah, but that's the reality of white people anyway. So you can't, like you said, pay them any mind. You have to go there, see for yourself. But it's just a beautiful thing to be in a situation to do what you're doing in your organization.
Well, join us, my brother, and take part.
You know, to be honest with you, I'm working on something else. But if there's other ways that I can support it by passing the information along, I definitely will. But
we're under NDA situation. Like, I mean, you know, you can try and join the Grand Rising, but at this point, we have 5,000 members in the Grand Rising, and nobody's trying to matriculate over. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're in a time where, in a little while, certain doors will be closing, and that's just the reality.
Do you have a Facebook link, or is there any link where one could get more information?
Well, I'm on the website, which is theledgegroup.com. You know.
You can go there. It should be up and running by now.
Yeah, theledgegroup.com, and it's a lot of information, a lot of things that the Ledge Group is doing, you know, in terms of what the group is about, the things that they're talking about doing in Africa, you know, dealing with food, water, clothing, and shelter, those basic necessities for human life, you know.
Healthcare.
Yeah, healthcare and all of that, you know.
We have a maternity ward that we're adding on. We've already built it, but it's being added on to in Zambia. And, you know, the mortality rate for children has gone down, you know, because people are having their children at the maternity ward.
There's so many things that we as American Africans need, and there's a lot more things that we as Africans on the continent need, and we need each other's help in doing it.
Exactly.
The deal. We need each other's help.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. That's what we're trying to do. As you call this a bridge, we're bridging many gaps.
Yeah.
Many gaps. So, you know, I just don't want anyone to come into the Grand Rising or come into the Ledge thinking that we are an investment group.
Right.
We're not that at all.
No, you're a working group.
People who came into the group were dissatisfied and wanted all of their finances back. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this isn't, you know, when you go shopping in somebody else's store, you know, you don't ask for your money back if you're dissatisfied. So why would you treat us any different?
Right.
Well, you know, that's the nature of the Negro, bro. That's just who the Negro is. He don't do the necessary research and get the information, and then when he become disappointed, he want to hem and haw and badmouth you and ask for their money back and all this and that. But they never treat the white man like that. No way, shape, and form. Daddy tell them no, it's no, and they go on about their business. But me and you, they want to give us hell. It is what it is.
All I can say is, you with us, you get a lot for what you put in.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the ability to go home with us. Because in Africa, where we have it set up, you can buy 10 hectares of land for $3,000.
You can buy what?
10 hectares of land.
How much? What?
10 hectares is 24.5 acres.
What? 24, almost 25 acres of land for $3,000?
That's it. If you're a member of my group, you can do that all day long.
Man. And where are some of the places?
Building my home on it is an 8,500 square foot house I'm building.
What are some of the locations that can happen?
There's only one, Zambia.
Zambia, okay. Yeah. Zambia, okay.
But we have land offerings in Tanzania. I think it's $1,500 for an acre.
Sir, what kind of projects do you have going on over in Zambia other than solar?
No, solar is in Ghana.
So what is in Zambia?
In Zambia, we have produce that you would not believe. We do mountains of farming in Zambia.
Okay.
We're building in Zambia because that's where... one-third of the entire group is moving. We're all moving there. So, and we also have, like I say, we have the hospital maternity ward going up. We have grocery stores that will be going up. We have, I mean, it's just mountainous. And that's my central location is Zambia, mm-hmm. personally. So I do a lot there. All I can say is wherever we are, we're in South Africa. We're doing livestock in South Africa. We got livestock, and I think it's in Tanzania.
Tanzania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here they say Tanzania.
I'm right.
It's Tanzania.
Tanzania.
From when I to the people.
And the land in Zambia is just fruitful. In regards to growing products, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Have you ever heard of a brother by the name of Tidi Abduwalu?
Who?
Tidi Abduwalu.
No, I haven't.
Hey, check this brother out.
Kidi Awadu. Hey, Jay, is that Kidi Awadu who has a radio program?
Yeah, LIB radio.
Yeah, Liberation Radio. Yeah, Kidi Awadu. He used to call himself. Well, I think I heard him still calls himself the
Conscious Rasta.
Right, the Conscious Rasta. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a brother who you should look into in regards to, you know, what you're doing. Maybe you and him could partner up. And do some things because I know he's really into, you know, farming and things of that nature. Matter of fact, I've heard him talk about trying to put a group together with some people to go to an African country and help with their farming. Because, you know, it's funny that there's a lot they say, I don't know how true it is, I'm just going by what I've heard, that there's a lot of Africans over in Africa that don't know really how to farm the land.
I mean, that's everywhere you go. Everybody doesn't know everything, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that was.
All I can say is the ones who come to us and say they have land, we like I say, we'll do a proof of concept to find out exactly what you can, cannot do. Mm-hmm. And from that point, we move on it.
Because see, it's
in
just
either direction, up or down.
Because it's just like what happened in South Africa and what happened in Zimbabwe and so forth when they took the land to give it to the people. Unfortunately, many of the people didn't know really what to do with the land in terms of turning it over to a decent scale agriculture. You know, you may have a little plot where you do a little farming right there. You know, you got some few beds where you're growing some tomatoes and lettuce and so forth. But when you're talking about the kind of farming on that scale, you know,
that we do.
That's right. It's huge. You know. Yeah.
I mean, I can show you a picture. We've harvested so many tomatoes, man. I've never personally seen this many tomatoes in my life.
Yeah.
In one harvest, I've never seen it. I'm talking tons.
Yeah.
I'm not talking 5 or 6. I'm not even talking about pounds. I'm talking tons.
And see, reason why in my mind, in terms of Pan-Africanism, in terms of Africa being one, the ability for Africa not just to feed itself but to feed the world, you're going to need that kind of equipment to do that kind of farming. You're going to need roads and railroads and transportation to move
That's a mindset that starts out from here. Reality is truck. Those roads have been driven before you even decided to put your road in there. They're still driving them. So what you do is you utilize what you have exactly at that time, and you build up to that. You don't you can't go in there and say I'm going to now build a road. Do you realize the cost in one road?
And see, that's what I'm talking about. They're putting the mechanism together to, you know, when I talk about Pan-Africanism, my vision is Africans coming back home to build. Africa being one, Africa building roads, highways, railroads, transportation systems, you know, all of those things, water systems, electric.
Africans here in the diaspora who don't have millions of dollars, but their dollars with our dollars makes larger dollars.
Yes, sir.
See?
Yes, sir.
So it's like you can have, let's just say, for instance, we just did a thing where we needed to buy a drone so that we can let everybody see their lands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have 270, 80 people, but of that 270, 80 people, only 15, 20 kick in for that drone. You see?
Right.
You're still back down to that 1%.
Yeah.
So our numbers look fabulous. You know what I mean? But I wish and I pray and I try to, you know, seek guidance from the ancestors on how to help all of my people get to a point where they not only have the vision, but can actually be a That's why I work hard on my side of the fence.
Right on.
Because I want to be able to say, well, right now we don't need your part, but you will still be able to partake of what we've already created.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So, I say, my job is to work for the people.
Right on. Well, Brother Nkosi, we are up against the clock. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are. It's 1 o'clock, man. The time flies when you're having fun and want to get that information out. I will continue to promote The Ledge. I will give you a buzz. Say hello to Brother Peter Brown. I know the work. Is he on the continent or is he in the States?
All right, he's here.
Okay. Yeah, say hello to dear brother. But I'm going to be passing this information on and talk with you about announcing The Ledge Group every program that I have to get more people aware and get you back on here. You or Peter back on the program to talk about other exciting things that the Ledge Group is involved in and how other brothers and sisters can become a part of the Ledge Group.
Okay, that'll be nice. That'll be nice, my
right
brother.
Right on. Right on, brother and Cozy. We appreciate it.
All right. Peace and light to you.
All right, brother. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate you listening today. Remember the programs tomorrow with Friends of the Congo. Their program is at from 12 to 2 on the Zoom. And then WADU, the Worldwide African Diasporan Union, their program is from 7 to 9 tomorrow evening. Check with other groups and see if you can become a part of that. And we'll be back on Monday. You have a great weekend, brothers and sisters. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahorie. Bibi Fahorie means our victorious destiny. Bibi Fahorie family, peace.
Ashe.
Ashe. Thanks a lot.